Welcome to the O Woman Podcast, where we discuss oh so many things about women's sexuality, bodies, thoughts, and lives. We'll talk about everything from our relationships to our orgasms to our children and our ovaries. And we'll share outstanding experiences and ordinary ones. I'm Emma, and a big, open welcome to you. Welcome to episode 29 today, which is the first episode of the Getting in the Mood series that I'm starting. Different episodes talking about being able to get in the mood with your partner. Ways to get in the mood, hindrances that might keep you from getting in the mood. All of these together are gonna hopefully provide enough information and help for you to think better, or for you to think more about how you have control over being able to get in the mood, and you are able to increase your sexual experiences and the value of your sexual experiences through helping, you know, changing your external environment and making sure that things are working for you, changing your thoughts, changing your attitudes about sex, if you want to. So today's episode of the Getting in the Mood series is about minimizing external distractions during sex. Now, I feel like this is especially a thing for women because, at least for me, Jason is rarely ever distracted by anything during sex. I mean, maybe he notices other things happening around him, but he's not so distracted that it actually affects him being in the mood. I've never noticed that happen with him ever. I'm sure there'll come a day when that will. But I, on the other hand, can be very distracted by other things because it requires such a focus. For me and for many women, it requires such a focus to have an orgasm that you can't be distracted by other things, or the mood is gone, or at least temporarily smashed, and you have to build it back up again. Unlike what it seems to be with men, where the mood is present if sex is present. And of course that's not always the case, but that's what I've always noticed in my own experiences, and I'd be curious to see what you've noticed in your own too. So the first thing I wanted to talk about as a distraction, which we might kind of forget can be a distraction because we're so used to dealing with it, is changes in temperature or differences in temperature. So is the room like too hot or too cold? Or are you just too hot and too cold? For example, I am more cold-natured than Jason. My feet get really, really freezing cold, and so do my butt cheeks, very weirdly. And this is just wearing underwear and pants, walking around the house. I get in bed, and my butt cheeks are freezing until they get warmed up by the warmth of the covers. And I'll put them on Jason sometimes, and he's like, oh God, get them off of me, they're so cold. I mean, they're freezing. But, I mean, that has to do with my butt cheek, I guess. My butt cheeks are kind of my extremities, just like my hands and my feet are, and they get less blood flow. And generally less blood flow as a woman. If you didn't know that, women have circulation that isn't quite as good as men's circulation in their hands and their feet, in their extremities. And it's because women have better circulation in their abdomen region, and this is generally related to needing to have a better system in there working, because when you choose to get pregnant, if you do, you need a really reinforced system to get the blood supply to the baby and to make everything work for the baby just fine. So, hence the reason why most women have slightly colder hands and feet than men, or way colder hands and feet than men. It depends. I heard something actually on the radio the other day that said that 60% of women in the winter complain about cold hands and feet, as opposed to, like, I think no percent of men. So that's something to think about. Now, here's the thing about solving being cold. You could always wear some amount of clothes, but that to me would not be the solution. Here's the thing. Jason and I do not really heat our house very much. I mean, we heat it, but it is, what, like mid-December now, and we haven't yet cut our heat on in our house. Our wood stove's been going. It's been keeping it usually warm enough. But our temperature is pretty low. Our temperature is like in the 50s and 60s, depending on the day, depending on the time of day. And I'm used to that, and I'm okay with that because I like being able to bundle up. It's fine. But during sex, it's not fun because at some point you get hot because you're having sex, but in the beginning you're freezing cold and you don't want to do anything. You just want to lay there in a big ball of fuzzy blankets. So oftentimes we'll obviously start having sex under the covers. But one thing I've noticed makes a huge difference is wearing socks. And I know some people don't want to wear socks because it's pretty cheesy, or it's like there's like the joke about the the goofy guy wearing socks during sex. But Jason recently told me something, and I don't know where he got this information, that he was reading that people that wear socks during sex have certain percent more of orgasms or something like that. I don't know. And I could see that because, especially for women, having something feel out of whack or cold or hot or whatever is definitely a distraction. So I, when I feel too cold, I put socks on. And then it really helps, too, if you get him to put socks on. Because his feet are probably cold to the touch, whether he feels that they're cold or not. So if he touches you with his foot during sex, you just are immediately shocked out of your zone. Because you just have this freezing cold foot touching you on the leg or the whatever. And so it's so shocking. So if you have had issues lately getting in the mood and staying in the mood because of external distractions, this is definitely one thing that I think you should control for before you even start having sex. So plan to be under the covers, plan to have extra covers, plan to wear a hat even. I have done that a couple different times because your head is where you lose most of your body heat. So wearing a hat is actually a really, really warm, awesome thing. I've done that too. At a certain point, you might want to take it off because you get too hot, but you can at least start with it on. And I would say wear the socks. I would not say wear gloves because you can't really touch each other in a skin-on-skin contact kind of way. But I would wear socks and a hat. So the flip side, though, to being too cold during sex is being too hot during sex, which is not something I'm usually worried about in the winter, but it is something I'm way worried about in the summer. Because being too hot is actually much more of a bother to me than being too cold during sex. So I start to get, like, feel clammy and kind of, like, sticky. Like, I don't mind being sweaty during sex, but sort of like a clammy, you know, the way you feel when you get that chill where you're sweaty and cold at the same time when you're sick? I sort of feel like that when I get too hot. I feel, like, overheated and almost like I'm dehydrated. And probably sometimes I am, unfortunately, but usually I'm drinking enough water. So that is always so much worse to me because I just can't cool down because it's not like you're gonna, when you're cold, you warm yourself up having sex. No, when you're too hot, you warm yourself up even more having sex. So what we discovered works is to have a fan on. Now, we also don't use air conditioning every hot month of the year, so that's something to do with it. Now, if you use a lot of heat or use a lot of air conditioning, you can always just crank it up knowing that it's going to be a sexual time later. And if that sounds like, oh, that's too pre-planned, but if you're having issues getting in the mood, nothing is too pre-planned. You have to fight for a really positive sexual experience sometimes or a really satisfying sexual experience. So it's worth planning ahead to get what you want. But we don't always have the air conditioning on or the heat on. So we have an overhead fan, and we cut the overhead fan on. Now, we've used a box fan on the floor before, but here's the major problem with just any fan, especially the box fans, is getting dried out. It is, like, a huge problem. So this is the big, the thin tightrope line that you walk while having sex in the summer when it's kind of hot is, for me, is, am I too hot? And then on the flip side, am I cooled off so much that with airflow that my crotch is also totally dried out, which has happened to me before too. So we settled on the ceiling fan. It works a lot better because usually that isn't giving a direct draft to my crotch because the box fan was. Now, if you have it turned to the side, you know, you're aiming the fan at the side of your body, then that's different. But for whatever reason, we had it plugged in. I think the only plug in the room or something was at the base of the bed, and that's the way our head was at the opposite end. So it was totally shooting right up to our genital regions and drying me out as soon as I was being cooled off. It was a really horrible situation. So we had to turn. We had to change positions. We had to change everything. We had to literally start all over again from the beginning with all the foreplay and everything because the fan dried me out so much. So that is a huge distraction to getting in the rhythm and to getting in the mood. Now, noises are also, to me, a really huge distraction. Any type of noise, really. I mean, there can be some noises, like if the dog is scratching himself, you know, a little bit, that doesn't bother me, or the fan being on, hearing the fan. But some, like, other things, you know, like if I hear a loud noise or if the dog starts to bark or, I'm trying to think of another example, if something falls or if something shifts or I hear a car that's really loud drive by, that can be a major distraction. Sometimes it isn't, but most of the times it is. And luckily, we live out in the country, and so there's not really too many things for the dog to bark at on a regular basis, and there's not too many cars driving by that are very loud, because our house is pretty far from the street anyway. It's not like we live in a little apartment where all these other people are. But when we did live in an apartment together, our bedroom was kind of this three, it was almost like a peninsula of a room, so only one side of the room connected to the rest of the house. The rest was exposed on three sides to the outside. And there was other people out there doing things, walking around, coming in the back door. And that was really difficult when someone came by, because they stood by one of the bedroom windows to unlock their door to come into their side of their apartment. And it was just like, and on three sides, you're thinking, who can hear me, who can't? But since we live in the country, no one can hear me, which is really great. And at a certain point, you just kind of get used to the idea of people being able to hear you. But hearing noises, especially people noises, a person talking nearby outside, you know, different things like that. I don't have children, but I can't even imagine, you know, hearing your kid and walking around in the hall or hearing your baby cry out the baby monitor or something like that. Of course, that's a major distraction. Now, if you're a parent and you have a young child, you can't ignore the distraction. You have to actually go check it out in most cases and see if the kid's okay. But in the other case of you live in an apartment near a bunch of other people, or you're just really sensitive to hearing different sounds like the dog barking or the cat meowing or whatever happening outside, cut on some music. Some people are distracted by music, but most people, it provides a certain sense of rhythm, which is a really reinforcing, positive thing. One of my best friends, when she gave birth to her daughter, I was there, and I've actually mentioned this in a previous podcast. She had Enya and, like, relaxing music on the whole time to help her stay in a rhythm that was a calming rhythm, and to help keep her from being distracted by all the people around. You know, the midwives and different things like that. So music is a really successful thing for this, because it cancels out what's in the background, first of all, in most cases, unless that thing is so loud. And then it also gives you a rhythm or a pattern for you to focus on if you're just prone to getting distracted anyway. And that can be a really good thing if you're having issues getting in the mood or having an orgasm, being able to kind of build into it. Let the music kind of guide you. But pick music that's going to be good for you, that isn't like where the tempo isn't going to mess up your mood. You need to pick music that's based on how you're feeling for that day. So if you're feeling slow and romantic, don't pick, you know, hip hop, you know, for example. So besides noises also being a distraction, the living things that create the noises, like dogs, cats, children, are also a distraction, just in general. There have been multiple times when Jason and I have been having sex, and my cat Dodger jumps up on the bed, and you're like, oh, crap, get away from me. But he doesn't do it all the time, and so sometimes I don't think ahead enough to be like, well, let me lock him out or put him in outside or something like that. But you have to think ahead about these kind of things. You have to think about temperature, about all those sorts of things, so that you're prepared when you're ready to get in the mood. You can't stop halfway through and be ready. It's like packing for a trip sometimes. You got to take yourself with you, or you're going to get there and you're going to have nothing. So you've got to pack up your sexual no distractions arsenal and make sure that you're prepared for everything. So, for example, one time, I'm trying to think of the circumstance. Oh, it was really funny, but also really kind of disgusting at the same time. I was going down on Jason, and our dog happened to be just in the room with us. And he starts scratching himself and, like, licking himself on the wiener. I was like, but so loudly, like, and it was the most, like, we both noticed it. It was hilarious, but also really weirdly gross. And our dog didn't know what was going on. He wasn't paying attention. He doesn't care. He almost always just totally ignores us. The first few times he ever saw us have sex, he kind of came over and was like, what's happening? But now he usually just totally ignores us and falls asleep and knows that he's not involved. But so he wasn't, you know, connecting the dots and expressing his his feelings at all. He was just like scratching himself or licking himself. But it was such a weird timing that we were just both like, oh God, okay, you're going to have to leave, Bolt. Like, get out of here, dog. We can't do this. One thing I've noticed, too, is the TV is a really big distraction to having sex. Because it's kind of like noise, negative noise, and people at the same time. And because it has its own storyline going on with it, or its own facts or something, it's really hard to stay focused on what you're doing if you're listening to this other storyline kind of happen in the background. Music's different because it has a rhythm. But to me, TV is like the worst of you know, noise distractions and of people distractions, because it's a combination between people talking at you and all these noises and loud sounds and stuff to kind of catch your attention in a commercial or something. So I would always recommend cutting off the TV, because you can't be in the moment with your partner with that distraction there. And I also talked about some of the other more hilarious bodily function distractions, like burps, farts, queefs, and sneezes on a previous episode. And I wanted to re-mention those just briefly again, how those can be a distraction. But depending on how you handle it, depending on, I guess, how you're feeling at the time, too, they can just be something funny and you can move on and get through it. Other times, you might need to actually stop and laugh about how hilarious the situation is, which I've mentioned in that previous podcast that happened to me one time, and it totally ruined my nude. The situation was funny. I farted during sex, and we had to stop and laugh, but it was frustrating at the time because the mood was broken for me. I wasn't in the mood to laugh. I was in the mood to continue going, but the mood got broken when my partner had to stop and laugh. So animals are a distraction, and if you know they could be a distraction, like some animals just get really interested in people having sex and they want to like go sit with them, lock them out of the room, kick them out of the space, put them somewhere else. You know, they're not going to hopefully meow and scratch at the door. If they do, then you have to put them somewhere else altogether. And then the biggest distraction overall, I kind of mentioned with outside noises, people talking, is just people in your house, I would say, which is also something you can get used to. There are plenty of parents in the world that have had to get used to, you know, other people talking, making noise as a distraction, and they've just gotten over it. But sometimes it's hard to get over. So if you have a roommate or if you have a kid, you have to kind of plan around these people being there. I've mentioned also before that when Jason and I first started dating, he lived with two of his friends, and one of the friends' room was right across the hall from Jason's, and I feel like I heard him tromp it up and down the hall all the time, and it was also new in my relationship with Jason, and so it was really hard for me to really get into having sex and have orgasms, because I was constantly thinking his friends could hear me all the time. So if that's an issue, cut some music on in this case too, plan around when the person is there. And then with kids, you kind of just have to get it when you can get it. Depending, you know, if you have an alternative schedule and you guys don't work 9 to 5, you could always do it when they're at school, if they go to school, if they're old enough. Also after they go to sleep, you know, you have to just, you know, try to work around it, but plan around it. Spontaneous sex is great, and you should totally do it. But if you're having trouble getting in the mood, you really have to think about it in advance so that you know how to approach the situation. Now, other things that could be distractions are not so much like distractions like that will stop you from having sex, but distractions that could happen maybe during sex. So, for example, if you're having period sex, which I've talked about in a previous episode, you might need some cleanup, like towels, or you might start to have sex and realize, oh, I really should have had a towel down underneath us, and that's a distraction because you're like, man, I wish I had a towel. I need to go get a towel. So think about that in advance. Plan that. Bring that in. Jason and I do this thing where we have these thing called crotch rags. There's like a couple like hand towels that we reserve just for crotch rags, and we have them like stacked in a like separate special place in the bathroom from all the other, you know, hand towels, and we go get them, and usually we have them in there actually in advance, like, and so you can tell when one of us is planning on wanting to have sex because someone has stacked two crotch towels by their side of the bed. And what the crotch towels do is they clean up, you know, the gooiness after sex, so that you don't have to jump up right away and go dashing into the next room, which to me counts as a distraction, because even though you might be finished having sex, you're still in the mood, in the moment with that person, and you want to sit there and talk, and you want to snuggle them, and you want to smell them, and things like that. So today I've covered a lot of ground, kind of the bullet points of different things that can be distractions. So noises, temperature, Sometimes light can be distraction, like if there's a light in your face, but I didn't really much mention that today. Animals or pets you might have, outside noises, friends that you might live with, roommates, children. And then, of course, throwback to the farts and queefs and burps and sneezes and things like that. But the main point of this episode is to remind you that if you're having trouble getting in the mood, you have to plan ahead. And then at a certain point when you're on a rhythm of being fine and being able to get in the mood whenever you want and not having as many things distract you, you're not going to have to plan ahead as much. But if you're having trouble, you need to plan ahead. You can't just imagine it's going to spontaneously work. It doesn't always happen like that. It doesn't often happen like that. Thank you once again for listening to the O Woman podcast today. Love talking with you guys, as always. I want to remind you to like us on Facebook, follow us on iTunes, and please also, I haven't mentioned this yet because I'm new to iTunes. I'm still figuring out how to work it. You can rank my episodes on iTunes, so please do that so that I can get some feedback from you in that way and so that iTunes can recognize the podcast even more and know that we are a real thing that people listen to. So also remember, give me any feedback, comments. You can go to the website, owomanpodcast.com is the website, and my email is emma@owomanpodcast, so you can totally email me there, ask me questions, give me ideas for a future episode, all of those things. And if you're having trouble finding past episodes, there's a page on the website called Episode Archives. It's like right in that first menu when you go to the homepage. And it will take you to all the past episodes, so you'll easily be able to find them by topic or by their episode number. Once again, thanks for listening. Love talking with you. Can't wait to talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.